Blog Talk Radio.
Johnson, the creator of Tribe Family Channel and Gumbo for the Soul International. Good afternoon and God bless. I want to welcome you to The Woman at the Well and thank you for tuning in. This is our first episode of November, and we want to remind our listeners that November is National Adoption Awareness Month. So the question isn't, the question is, whose village will you be? Gumbo for the Soul published a book entitled Here's Our Child, Where's the Village? And I beg to ask, whose village will you be? At this time, I am so pleased and honored to welcome to The Woman at the Well, Wanda Burnside. And I want to give you a little bit of background about Wanda before we bring her on. Mrs. Wanda J. Burnside is an award-winning poet and writer. Since 1970, she has received numerous national and local honors in writing. At the age of 20, while a student at the University of Detroit, she received her first poetry award from Broadside Press. The famed Michigan poet laureate, Mr. Dudley Randall, who was the founder of this organization, awarded her with this prestigious honor. In 1999, she received both the Writer of the Year Award and the Persistence Writer of the Year Award from the American Christian Writers Association. Wanda is one of the contributing poets in the newly released anthology Sister Faith, Real Stories of Pain, Truth, and Triumph, published by Simon & Schuster of New York. This book was compiled by the noted author and speaker, Marilyn Griffith. Wanda is a contributing author and poet in other major Christian books as well. Wanda is a contributing author and poet in other major Christian books such as Too Soon to Say Goodbye and Wounded by Words, True Painful Stories compiled Susan Titus Osborne, M.A., Karen L. Gosman, and Jeannie Gordon, M.S.M.A., F.M.F.T. Faith, Use It or Lose It by Minister Mary Edwards. And Minister Mary Edwards is a contributor to Gumbo for the Soul Women of Honor Special Pink Edition. Welcome, Wanda. How are you, my sister?
Well, I am so highly honored, and I am just overwhelmed with thankfulness and much gratitude to you, Sister Beverly Johnson, for allowing me to have this opportunity and this privilege to talk to your listeners and those that are gathered today to be a part of this Woman at the Well time. My heart is touched, and I know that God has brought us together, and it's no mistake. God has done such a marvelous thing for me to meet you, a gifted, talented, anointed woman who is a great visionary and such a wise, godly woman. So I am just honored to be with you.
Bless your heart.
It's you, my dear. I'm talking about you.
to God, to God, to God be the glory, and right back
Amen.
At you, my sister, right back at you. And I have to say that in all honesty, because let me let our listeners in on how we met.
Amen.
We were on Twitter, and
right.
you responded to a message where I believe you thought that I was struggling in some way, and you inboxed
yes.
me, and you started
yes.
letting me know, sister, you know, you are a child of God, you are his
yes.
gift, you are his anointed, you are his diamond, even wrote
Praise
in the
Jesus.
Book to me
Praise
that you are his
Jesus.
Diamond, and that just touched me, you know, in such a way, because, you know, we live in a world where people do not do that. They don't reach out like you did. And I was like, okay, I'm okay. But you were so relentless. I was like, well, let me let her know that, it's really, really all right. I'm fine. And
Praise
then I started
you, Lord.
Like, okay, well, maybe something is wrong. What did I say? I have
yes,
to go back
Praise
and look
Lord.
And see what did I say for you to think that there was something that caused you to really go in and start ministering to me in such a way that I really had to reach out and or reach back, because you did the reaching out, and, you know, and that's what it is about, ministering to people and saving souls. And I was so blessed to be able to really honestly and truly let you know that, no, I am really okay, and it's already all right. And when
Amen.
I finally said it's
Amen.
Already all right, that's
Amen.
When you were like, okay. And
yes,
then so from
yes.
there we were in touch, and now here we are, the woman at the well. So that's my testimony.
Praise
and
the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Yes.
You are an anointed
Praise
woman
God.
Of God.
Praise God.
So, I have went
Thank
through,
you.
Don't mess with me, who do you think you are? And I want
yes.
to remind our listeners that they can go online. You can Google Wanda J. Burnside and find Don't Mess With Me, who
Thank
do you
the
think
Lord.
You are? And we're going to make sure that you give our listeners the information that they can go to thecalledandreadywriters.org and order your book and find out more about the ministries that you're involved in. So
yes.
what I would like to review for our listeners is that when we aired our first show, The Woman at the Well, October 1st, 2014,
yes.
our guest was Colonel Richard Tolliver, Tuskegee Red Tails Airman protege. He
mm-hmm.
was adamant about reminding everyone that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so
yes.
I want to continue in that vision and that theme to remind everyone, carrying it forward into all year until we reach October again, that domestic violence awareness does not have to be. It is absolutely 100% preventable.
Yes.
And
Amen.
We've had some guests on here that have really opened our eyes to the growing rate of domestic violence.
Yes.
And Pastor T.D. Jakes said he never met a man who an abusive man that wasn't that loved himself, or that, in other words, wasn't angry at himself.
Yes.
So this
yes.
is the internal rage being expressed externally. And
yes.
women are, and men suffer abuse.
Yes.
It's not all women, but men suffer
yes.
abuse. There's different kinds of abuse, verbal, psychological,
That's right.
physical,
That's right.
you know, abuse. And there's
Absolutely.
Even that spiritual abuse if you're
yes.
not walking in faith. And
That's
we
right.
know there's different kinds of faith. I'm not here to get theological about it, but I do serve the righteousness of God.
Amen, amen.
My Lord
amen.
And Savior, and I believe in
Hallelujah.
The death, the burial, and the resurrection.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
With that
Thank
being
you.
Said, we are going to go into Don't Mess With Me, Who
Praise
Do You
Lord.
Think We Are?
Yes.
Because there's an undergirding that I want our listeners to grasp. We have had such a revelation about the statistics of abuse from our last show. We had on there Sarah Blum, and she and I discussed her book, Women Under Fire, Abuse in
yes.
the Military. And
mm-hmm.
there is more abuse in the military statistically than there is in the civilian world.
My
so
Lord.
Don't mess with me. Who do you think you are?
Yes.
Speaks to you, abusers, evil doers, anyone that has any ill towards another human being. This
Amen.
Is for you. If
yes.
you serve an evil energy, spirit,
yes.
whatever you want to call it, and you do
yes.
not serve the God of this creation,
That's
and
right.
you are an abuser, or you have any type of control that someone has released to you, and you know that you're doing
yes.
wrong, but you want to pretend
yes.
like it's all for their own good. If you are holding anyone in bondage or under control or imprisonment,
yes.
you are an abuser.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely right. Every word
you
that you express is correct. Yes.
And, you know, we're going to talk about it from that biblical standpoint as well, you know, because I do believe that I can pull out a scripture for any area of my life to
yes.
undergird that I live by the grace of God. So I'm not here at the well to preach. I'm here at the well to testify. So
yes.
according to the Holy Bible in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 1 through 39,
yes.
there was an occurrence that took place, and that woman met Jesus at the well,
yes.
and she
Amen.
Left without water and
That's
went
right.
and testified, and many were saved. And
That's
so
the truth.
It is
yes.
to that, Amen, and it is
yes.
to that we're going to go into testifying a little bit of our own. So
yes,
let me
right.
ask you this. I want you to turn to your book to page, let's see. Let's have you go to page 17. And if you don't mind, would you read from your introduction the first two paragraphs and stop where it says he cares?
Okay. In this introduction that the Lord gave to me, I pondered in my heart how to open up this book. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just words on the paper, but it was asked in the Lord. I poured out in my spirit. I said, Lord, I want to introduce this book. How would
mm-hmm.
you have me to bring this book as an introduction? And so it says here, it says that if you put crabs in a bucket, there is a good chance that none of them will get out of it. This is because as soon as one crawls up trying to get out, he won't escape. One of the other crabs will pull him right back down. Is this happening in your life? You try to move on, but someone is there trying to hold you back so that you can't advance. Is this happening to you? There are people who don't want to see you succeed or have any success. They want to hold you back. They are in your life to see that that you fall on your back. These are the I told you so folks. They are looking for a reason to see you struggle and not make it. They are not for you. We must learn to not listen to them. Instead, speak boldly about the assignment that God has for us. We can press on knowing that God is for us. He cares.
Thank you so much. So
You're
profound,
welcome.
So profound, and so on point honest. Starting back at the beginning, you know, crabs in a bucket.
Yeah.
That illustration is widely used, but I haven't seen it used in a scriptural sense. And I
yeah.
like the way you are introducing this book because I hadn't thought about it at first. I hadn't thought about it from an abuser's standpoint, that's what an abuser is doing to
Amen. That's
someone.
Right, exactly.
Not wanting to see them successful or succeed, wanting to hold them back so that they can
yes.
fall on their back,
yes.
pulling them down. If someone is trying to leave an abuser and an abuser is going through all kinds of antics and charades and
yes.
additional abuse to keep them there, then all of this applies. And so
that's right, absolutely.
What we want to know and undergird this with to our listeners, when you said these are the I told you folks, and we know that often people reach out for help in the wrong areas.
That's true.
Sometimes we'll reach out to people that are going to tell us what we want to hear and not what we
mm-hmm.
need to hear. Or we're going to reach out to people that are a crab in the barrel that
yes.
don't want to see us get any further than them. So they're
right.
not going to really push you out of that area of trouble into that area where you're dealing with the solution. So
that's true.
To that end, you say we can press on knowing that, well, let me back up. It says, instead, speak boldly about the assignment that God has for us. So
yes.
let me go deeper and ask you to help a person discern how to find their assignment and their purpose, if you will. Because some people may be, they know that they're gifted and talented. They may be in a situation of the crab in the barrel, and
yes.
they may be a little confused and cloudy about now what is their purpose and assignment, because I've been listening to this person talk about me and how they say I'm not anything, I never will be anything, and I've, you know, sunken into a bit of depression listening to this.
Yes.
So now I'm unclear. So speak to our audience and tell them how to really tap into what God's assignment is, how to be still and quiet and listen.
All right. Sister Beverly, I want to say this. In the contents of this introduction, the key thing that a person need to know is when you're being pulled down, pulled back, and I purposely said in that second, that third paragraph, that you fall on your back. Some people say, I fell on my face, but the nature of a person that wants to see you struggle and not get to your assignment like a crab or some type of animal, they flip you on your back. You fall on your back. You go backwards. And so here, when I say that you fell on your back or you have fallen on your back, if you're on your back, you have no resources or help to get back up. When you see an animal such as a turtle and it's flipped over on its back, they struggle, they're kicking, they're fighting to get back up, to get back where their assignment is. Their assignment is to crawl and to do the things that God created them to do. But a person that's holding you back, an abuser of words, a person that's toxic, a person that's evil, a person that has a desire to have a strong hold over your spirit, they want to pull you back and flip you on your back so you can't get up. And so the assignment that God has for us is found in Him. Once we tap into God and see what He has provided and not look to those that are around us feeding us words of discouragement, words of hurt and bitterness, and people that are out to prevent you from reaching your goal. So how do we get our assignment? It's going to the Word of God. How do we get our assignment? It's cutting loose from those that are out to do us harm. How do we get our assignment? By listening to those that have a good word for our life. When our spiritual man is defeated, we're sad, we feel abandoned, we feel lonely, we feel like I can't go on, then we're trapped, we're bound, we're not free. But the Bible says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So once we get the freedom that we need by going to the Lord in prayer, by going to the Lord seeking His will, His desire, and just opening up saying, God, I can't do this thing. I can't make it work. My life is falling apart. Everything I'm doing is a mess. Everything I'm doing is topsy-turvy. I keep falling on my back. I can't get up. I'm having a hard time. Once we release all of that negative, release all of that fear, and give it to the Lord, then we are open to hear the word of God concerning the assignment for our life. Now, a lot of people are searching for assignment and wondering if this is my assignment because they have not shut off the mouth of those that are trying to dictate into their life what they should do, can't do, need to do, ought to do, because some people that are in our life are not a part of God's assignment for our life. When we keep listening to people that are in there with an attitude of resentfulness, bitterness, we cannot open up our spirit man to find out what God has for me. Spiritually, we pray to seek the word of the Lord and come to Him boldly and say, Lord, I know You have something better for my life. What I'm going through, this struggle, these problems, this circumstance, all this bitterness, my hurt, my frustration, I am full of it. Lord, I release that to You. Fill me with Your word, Your spirit. Lead me, guide me, You show me what I need to do. And then God will come in, He will be there in us because He is like the darkness that's there from words, from bitterness, from folks that's downright dirty, bad attitude, bad disposition. We got to get that out the way because when we have that in the way, it causes us to be discouraged. When Jesus went to the house to pray for the child that was sick, the little girl, He put people out. And if you want to fulfill the assignment of God, what the Lord has, you got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and discern who is with you, who is against you. And so your assignment
will be... that right. Okay, go ahead.
Your assignment...
It's your assignment.
Your assignment will be revealed as you release the obstacles, the bondage, over to the Lord in prayer, fasting, reading His word, talking to people that have a real connection to God to understand what you are assigned to do. And it comes
okay, now
to
let me
us
have
being
you pin
sensitive.
That right there.
Okay.
Let me have you pin that right there because what you just said will take us into another some more dialogue. Now, that
okay.
is so profoundly stated because what I get out of that, if I am going through all the toils and turmoils
yes.
of life and
yes.
I have all but given up, I need to come purge myself, purge
yes.
my
yes.
spirit
yes.
and get all of this
yes.
out, clean
yes.
house, clean up all the cobwebs,
yes.
the debris,
yes.
everything that people
Absolutely.
Have been saying to me,
Amen.
All the discouragement, get
yes.
all that cleaned out so
That's
that I
right.
can clear my spirit and be
Amen.
Still and be quiet, read
yes.
my word, get some instruction, and I will
right.
recommend to anybody to, you know, start with John 3:16, but definitely
Amen.
Read the book of Proverbs, so that you can get a clearer understanding of some instructions for living. Perhaps you're new in your Christian walk, and so
Absolutely.
You can read your word and get some discernment in as far as taking the baby steps in your Bible. Now, you also mentioned, and thank you for that very profoundly stated answer, you mentioned in the at the end of your answer that you want to talk to people that are deep into the, you know, Word of God. So now, how do you being someone whose mind is clouded, being someone who may be coming out of abuse or coming out of the world, coming out of a situation new to, you know, faith, new to the Bible, new to Christianity, if it's their faith of choice, but how do you discern, and I know how to discern, but for our listeners, how do you discern if someone, because, you know, people can go to church all day.
Yes.
But how do you discern, and I know, but I'm asking you because of your wisdom and word and your evangelism, tell people, how do you distinguish someone that is truly connected to the Word of God or the world? How do you make that distinction?
And that's key.
Let me say something else. I'm sorry to cut you off. But let me also pin with that question. How do you discern whether someone is walking with God or walking with the world? Because someone could be walking with the world and reciting scripture to you because the devil knows the word.
That's right, he does.
Because he was used to tempt God, to tempt Jesus. And when the devil said, "It is written," that tells you right there that he knows the word. He said, "It is written."
That's
so how do you
right.
know that it's not the devil talking to you? I'm going to be straight up. How do you know when someone is not the enemy talking to you and wanting you to still fail?
All right. It's because of who we are. A lot of times we look at them, those folks. Everybody's got me confused. Everybody has me mixed up. I would do better if I could. And we are not allowing the Spirit of God to control us, lead us, guide us, show us. When we have our mind on those that are aggravating our life, poisoning our life, speaking into the words of our life, I mean, people will speak into our words. What I mean by that, people will speak on what you say, and they will try to make you say what they said. You know, it's just like when it's a baby and you talk to the baby and you say to the baby, "Good," and all like that when you're feeding it, and then that child will begin to say, "Good," too. So manipulation is what a lot of people will do when they're not of God. And you'll step back and say, "You know, I had a plan, I had a dream, but when I was hanging around, you know, I was hanging out with my girlfriend, and she started talking to me. It kind of messed my mind up, messed my head up, messed my thinking up, and she really ain't no good for me." And people start to discern that just naturally because they got burned one time, burned another time, and they begin to discern it without a spiritual revelation. You know, if you go to a car dealer and you buy a bad car, if you go to a car dealer and buy a bad car, and then you start talking and say, "I bought that car from that guy, and he said to bring it back if you have any problems. I brought it back. He said he'll get it done, he'll fix it, no problem." Okay, you get the car, and it acts up. Well, you don't have to have a spiritual discernment because naturally you know that this car is not functioning, is not operating as it's designed to do. We do that with our hair. If somebody said they're going to put a perm in and you go to the beauty shop, you sit there and get your hair done, and somebody else look over at you and they looking at the clock and they point to their watch to let you know your beautician been away from your head for 15 minutes past the time. So that's not spiritual discernment, but we learn things in our life by things that keep happening to us that's not working out for us. But spiritually, we can discern something because here in my book on page 60, the keys to success, and it says here, you will overcome the drama, mess, criticism and negative situations that are blocking your confidence and progress. And it says, this only happens when you trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. These are the keys. That's from Proverbs 3, going down from verse 6 down to 8. And I read that because it's in the book here. When we're so wanting to know how God is going to lead me, how God's going to bring me out of this drama, like I have here, you overcome the drama, the mess, the criticism, and all that negative talk. And I sit here, it's blocking your confidence, because we need to have confidence that what God assigned me to do, what he has given me to do, I can do it, because the Bible tells I can do all things. And it's not because of me, not because of you, but it's because of Christ that's in operation in my life. So the key to us discerning anything is for us to trust the Lord. And it says here, lean not to your own understanding. And we got to acknowledge Jesus Christ in all our ways. Everything that we are connected to, we have to discern by acknowledging him. When we do that, then it, the blessing is, he shall direct thy path. And so then it says here, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord and depart evil. All of that's key to us separating ourselves from the drama, the mess, the mixed up, messed up attitude and mind. That scripture is key. Because once we lean to him, depart from the evil. Because right here it says, depart from evil. Once we cut all ties to that, the spiritual flow, the assignment of God, we open the door to it. We got to close some doors and open other doors. Close the door, causing us frustration, fear, doubt, negative talk. Close that door. And it says, depart from evil, the thing that we know is against God, not what he's assigning us to do, people that he don't want in our life, things he doesn't want us to do. Once we break off from that, then he can lead us and guide us. Our assignment will never be complete or fulfilled, or it won't manifest in our life if we allow evil to be there. We got to depart from it. If we allow ourselves to think that we are wise, because it says here, lean not unto thy own understanding, and we have to see that we are in need of a Savior. Once we
well,
do
amen.
That,
let me,
that will
go ahead.
Help us. Yes.
And amen, amen to that, and thank you for you know, going forward to page 60. That is one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all
yes.
thy heart and lean not
praise
unto thine own understanding.
Amen.
And what happens is when you purge that
yes.
spirit and
yes.
get to that quiet space,
yes.
you will start to gain direction step by step.
Amen.
Discernment. And, you know, like you said, you don't have to be, because people in the world, like you talked about, the gave the car
yes.
illustration, the car purchase illustration.
Yes.
You know, there are people in the world that succeed in great numbers because of the level of their faith, not because they are so spiritual, but because
yes.
they have so much faith
yes.
that they are operating at a level of faith that allows them to get their goals
yes.
accomplished.
Amen.
So by
Amen.
The same token, if we are believers of the Lord and followers of Christ, then,
Amen.
You know, people may look at us like, well, you know, where's your faith? I don't see something manifesting
right.
in your life. people have to, it takes a lot of faith to turn it all over to God and,
yes,
and trust in him with all thine heart, because we want to keep it, we want to hold on to it, and we want to,
yes,
direct the outcome. But trusting in the Lord with all thine heart is releasing and trusting the outcome. And that's what,
that's right,
I think people find it so hard to do, is trusting the outcome, even though operating in fear is not giving them control of the outcome. You're just operating in fear. You don't have control of the outcome either way it goes, so why not stand by faith? And I'm going to go into back to page 17 of your book. The,
okay,
last chapter says, there is holy boldness that we must acquire, and that is so,
yes,
very true.
Yes.
You just mentioned coming before the Lord boldly. But it,
yes,
says the Lord wants us to hold on to his word and not listen to the talk of others. And
that's
my belief,
true,
is that you are able to discern a person that is connected to God by how they live their lives, how they walk,
absolutely,
out the word,
amen,
in their lives. And that's the way I try to live my life, is by, if I tell you to have faith, then I need to demonstrate faith and,
amen,
not fear. So when,
yes,
I don't have the answer, I'm okay not having the answer, because I'm operating in faith and I'm being an example to you. I don't have the answer.
That's right.
I don't know the answer. I don't know the time of the day and when he's going to deliver the answer, if he's going to deliver the answer. I just know to trust in him with all my heart, and keep pressing forward, because he gave me, if he gives you, he will give you step one. Do,
yes,
step one until he gives you step two. If he,
absolutely,
doesn't give you step two, step one is still, keep,
absolutely,
working step one. Okay.
Amen.
And,
amen,
so you continue on and says, he has made promises to us. He wants us to depend on him and trust him in everything. So you have to trust,
that's,
and,
right,
know that God is with you in everything.
That's,
and,
right,
you have to know that you can go through something and it can appear as though God is not there. And I will tell you, I have to testify right here, because that's how the woman at the well started.
Yes,
I was going through a period of communication confusion, and I thought,
mm-hmm,
the enemy was stirring the air and confusing things, and,
yes,
I'm in here, you know, binding the evil one,
yes,
binding,
yes,
the devil, and,
yes,
I feel like I'm binding them and loosening,
yes,
everything else, and I'm prayed,
yes,
up and praying over and,
mm-hmm,
really,
mm-hmm,
had spiritual warfare all the while. I can't figure out why I feel like I'm getting my behind whooped.
Yes, uh-huh. I understand 100%.
It boiled down to God was atoning me, confirming,
yes,
me, and,
praise,
correcting me, and,
praise,
I was going,
God,
through a pressing place, and, you know,
yes,
when we cook with olive oil, we don't think about what the olives went through.
Yes,
but I'm,
that's,
here to,
right,
tell you that as sure as you are on the woman at the well, olives,
mm-hmm,
are pressed to get the,
yes,
oil.
Yes,
I,
yes,
have been pressed to get,
oh,
to this,
praise,
microphone. God,
praise,
has pressed,
God,
me. And you, Wanda, and the other guests, along with myself, we are the result of that oil. So if,
oh,
you are,
yes,
just tuning,
yes,
in, you are tuned in live to The Woman at the Well on Tribe Family Channel with my guest, Sister in Christ, Sister Wanda Burnside, and we're,
praise,
discussing,
God,
Don't Mess With Me,
yes,
Who Do You Think You Are? And,
praise,
we are,
God,
undergirding who we think we are by whose we are.
Yes.
And we're on chapter, well, we're still in the introduction, believe,
mm-hmm,
it or not,
mm-hmm,
but on,
yes,
page 17, you go on to say he has made promises to us. He wants us to depend on him and trust him in everything. Our life will change when we believe that he said, when we believe what he said and stand on every promise. Now,
yes,
I'm going to tell you what my mission statement is, because you're just all in my head. But,
oh,
it also,
praise
you,
God,
continue to say we must have a change of attitude to make it. Believe,
yes,
God, and hold on. Stand,
yes,
firm on the word that he has proclaimed to you.
That's
my,
right,
mission statement is, with heart to God and hand to man, I will stand firm in my beliefs on God's word. And I won't,
ooh,
continue with the rest.
The Lord. Thank,
but
you, Lord,
this is right,
praise,
there,
God,
pins that for me. You have to stand on his,
wow,
word.
That's,
and
it,
when life throws all the arrows and slings and mess at you. You have to have a solid rock to stand on. You have to go back to the teachings that you acquired somewhere along the way, whether it was Big Mama teaching me how to play or someone taking you to church when you were young, or whether it was a still small space that you found was the only place for you to cower to safety, but you knew that you weren't alone. You could feel a spirit protecting you. That is that space where God meets you in the midst of your trouble.
Hallelujah.
And you know he's
Thank you, Lord.
Stand by his word. On that, we're going to go on to the next page.
Praise God.
Glory to God. We're going to give him all the praise and glory because all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. So you have got to draw out of any evil strife or the journeys that we embark upon our life. We have to draw out of that strength because all things work together. So tell us about how a person can feel when life just doesn't seem fair. And you can paraphrase or you can read, but that's page 19. And for time's sake, we want to be brief about page 19, and then we're going to go to page 25. So tell us about how, paraphrase, life's not fair for me.
All right. May I just say this before I move to that? I just want to cap on this. When we allow too many people into our life, speaking into our life, then we can't hear the word of God, because what they're saying will camouflage the truth. So that's why it's important to stop previous relationships, because you get into a diet of eating negative words. So that's why we cut it off at the root. We just say, no, I can't let that one speak into my life. I can't let that one come around me, because they're poison to me. They are cancerous to me. They get into me and just eat up my hope. The little hope I have, somebody comes in. So that's why we have to cut it off. Just get rid of it. Okay, on page 19, life's not fair for me. In this section, we look back over our life because we see somebody else moving ahead, getting ahead, going ahead, and we have these big dreams and we have hopes that one day things will turn around for us. And then we start thinking about, well, I went to school and I went ahead and took this class, a two-week class somewhere, and we sort of summarize our life because we see so much failure. We look at other people at their success and not knowing what they pay for to get to where they are at, what helped them to reach that goal, what helped them to stay in there, hang in there. But when we look around at our life that looks so empty, and it says here, are you in a place in your life where everything seems unfair? And we can arrive at a place where we're empty, it's nothing, we're bare, we don't see any fruits, we don't feel anything, no life, no activity. And when we look around at our life and comparing it to somebody else's life, we feel like I can't go out on. And on this page it says here, why can't I be blessed like others? Because when we get through looking at somebody else, trying to compare what's going on in our life, we want to know, why am I empty? Why don't I have what I need to have? And later in this page, it says, when you feel defeated, like you can't go on any further, there is hope for you. And so what happens is, when we're such in despair and we feel like life's not fair, I'm cheated, nothing's going to work for me, and that's the lies of Satan. That's his home. That's his game plan. He wants to poison our thoughts. He wants us to feel hopeless, defeated, and he wants to make us feel like I wasted my life, I wasted my time. There's no hope. I won't make it. Nothing is working for me. And then he sends along people that helps to keep that going. you know, they throw on a log on of comments, you know, keep that fire going. You know, when you see a fireplace, it will go out unless more wood is added. If you're barbecuing, it's going to go out unless, you know, you keep that flame going. But what Satan does, he sends people in that come into our life and they throw out negative words. They throw out, well, you know what happened to such and such. Well, the same thing going to happen to you. Or they'll tell you a comparison thing. Well, you know, your mama didn't do it. Your sister didn't do it. And it don't happen in your family. So you feel so empty and so hopeless that you feel like I'm cheated. Nothing's going to work out for me. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to feel that I have nothing, no hope. I'm cheated. I'm ripped off. My whole life is not amounting to anything. And some people tell you that. Girl, you wasted your time. You waste your time doing this. You waste your time doing that. And men speak like that to each other, too. They say, if you took my advice, you never would have gotten that mess. And so when we let people feed us those words of discouragement, we feel like I'm not going to make it. I'm discouraged. And everybody around me, that's why you got to cut off people that are in your life to snip at the blessing that God has for you. So I feel cheated. It's because we allow other people to have no good intentions for us. Their intention is to make us feel like we're not going to make it. And we feel cheated because we compare our life. But like you said, when you were going through all of that, God was elevating you. He was snipping at this and pinching at that, and he was fertilizing you. He was pruning you and preparing you for elevation.
Amen.
And
amen. And I surely
the devil
do
wants
receive
us to
that
feel like it's elimination.
That.
The devil said it's elimination, but it's elevation. And the things that were in your life in the past, and that's for all of us, we can't go where God wants us to go until he pressed, like you said, about that oil that comes out of an olive. He presses us to get the best out of us. You know, oil can, olive oil and other precious oil, once they're pressed and it comes out, that essence of what it is, even if a person has a bottle of perfume and has squeezed the nectar, that perfume can, just a few ounces, can be worth, you know, hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands. So that pressing period, we feel like I'm empty, I'm torn, I'm ripped, I'm not going anywhere. But in the process, it's a process to get us where God wants us to go in life. Just like you beautifully said, what you said was so lovely. I heard what you were saying. Yeah, you feel like you're getting whipped up, beat up, and you feel like, where is God in this? I'm messed up. Do you see me, God? But his elevation is not like what man does. And when he elevates us, we know that we are fully equipped because our testimony is there.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Our testimony of how we went through. And genuine. It's genuine. We went through it. The Lord looked at our heart. He looked at our spirit. He looked at our attitude. He put us on the exam table, and he knew that if anybody's going to make a difference in a person's life, it's him. And he take a delight in that. That's the thing that we
Hallelujah.
Need to know, that when he's doing it, I would rather for him to crush me than any person, because
Come
he's
on
not
going
to hurt me. He
Come
loved me
now.
Too much to
amen.
Hurt me.
Amen, amen, amen. And, you
he
know, thank
me.
You for sharing so much about that. You know, because when you look at sometimes people may feel like they've been a wrong, you know, a bad hand
Amen.
In life.
Right.
And, you know, and rightfully so. I mean,
right.
we weren't born with a silver spoon.
Right.
And there's been struggle. But
right.
when you think about what God gives you in aligning with him, the purpose in that, when
yeah.
you grab that, when you get that, and you steady and ready yourself for God to do something in your life, Yes. And you align up and you line up and you prepare yourself for that, you will it to come to pass in your life. And people
Amen.
Do not realize
Amen.
How much power we
yes.
have operating in the will of God. You absolutely,
absolutely.
Can will success and choices to come out to be blessings in your life by willing
That's
it
right.
to yourself, just by operating in the presence of God. And
praise
so
God.
Let's go on to, praise God, let's go on to page 25, from adversity to victory. So
okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear, what page is that?
Page 25.
All right. Uh-oh, going through some adversities.
Right.
You know, we don't
so
like we that. We don't want to go through some problems, some struggles, adversities.
And
you
know what?
That,
but we
you know,
not,
that's
we're
not a
testify.
Happy word. That's an ugly word.
But we have to, we're here at the well to testify now. I just spoke of adverse, tremendous
yes.
adversity, because there was
yes.
confusion in the air, and I could not get things sorted out with, you know, the matters that were before me.
Right.
And
right.
I thought every bit that it was the enemy, and it was not. And
yes.
here we are at the well. So
yes.
from adversities to victory, first we
oh
have
my.
To identify whether it's adversity. We could think it is, but here
yes.
in hindsight, we know that by sitting at the well, the adversity in the present place that I was going through was not the adversary, and it was not adversity, but it was a pruning in a present place that God
yes.
took me through. So let's
yes.
talk about how to really be able to operate and deal in the spirit when we're going through adversity, because I never once left the presence of God. When I was going through all that, I thought I was in here whooping Satan, but God
yes.
was atoning me. So I
yes.
was still in the presence of God, but I just didn't know the battle wasn't mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But tell us
yeah.
about adversity.
Okay, like I said, it's an ugly word, because a lot of times people of God, we feel like I should not go through anything. And we say it to God. I'm serving you. I'm giving my tithes. I'm giving my offering. And I'm going through this. You have abandoned me. You have left me. And you just dropped me right here in the middle of all this mess, aggravation. And we don't like to have adversities. We don't want to have anything that's not bringing us the good times. And I say here, right in this second paragraph, in life we want things to flow with peace, happiness, and success. And that's what we want. We want to have everything good. We want to have everything happy. But God, He loves us too much to allow us to get to where He wants us to go without working on us under pressure. The adversities that come in our life, a lot of times, most of the time, we don't even see it coming. You know, somebody may have had children and they're doing good in school and they got them through the first grade, they got them in seventh grade, and they made it to the 10th grade, and all of a sudden, bam, all these problems come out of this teenager. And it's like the parent will go back and say, I was doing so good and I was working with them and I went to all the PTAs and I sat down with the teachers and they always were on the dean's list. And where did this come from? How did that happen? You know how much I work with you. It happens in a marriage. We think we're 10 years into the marriage, 15 years into the marriage, bam, marital problems come up. The problems in the marriage might be cheating. It might be financial struggles, accusing each other one thing then the other. And these adversaries that come in, adversities that come in, the thing that happened changed the course and pattern of our life. We may be having good health and, you know, bragging to people, I run every day. I'm out there running 5 miles. I'm eating my food. And then you get this symptom in your body and you go to the doctor and the doctor say, you know, I have something
it's
to really talk to you about. I need to sit down. So we feel good when we're on this treadmill of life. Everything is just perfect, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But when the hard time, the difficult time,
hits us.
The unexpected, I didn't see it coming, the blind side, when that happens in our life, we feel forsaken and that God doesn't love us anymore. But in our life, when it happens, and it never comes at a time, you know, problems never come when you prepare for them. I mean, I don't care, you can prepare for a storm.
It would be
a
problem.
Yeah, it would not be that. But you know what happens in our life? These come to shape us, mold us, purify us, get whatever's wrong in us out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the removal of things that's going in our life that need to be taken out, things that's going to sure enough make us sink. It's just like a swimmer. They can't get into a swimming pool dressed up in complete clothes, some kind of armor and boots. What's going to happen? They're going to sink. So when we go through obstacles of trouble and problems and adversities, we want to get to the victory, but it's a process. It's a molding and shaping. And when we see what
Amen.
We go through,
Amen.
We feel like I need a shortcut because I am a believer. I am a child of God. I am God's special, you know, special one. But the adversities that come in our life, they shake up our world. Really what it is, the uprooting of us to prepare our heart, our attitude, to go into a new territory. Because the old man, the old ways won't fit in God's plan for the new things he has for us. So he sends these trouble in our life. It's not that he wants us to have trouble, but it's a shaping. It's just like a person that's working with a clump of clay, and they're trying to shape it and mold it. You know, it'll never be the form or shape that it's meant to be unless it's carving it out, moving this part, put some on, take it out. Now, when we go through adversities, we got to have a strong faith and hope in the Lord. And sometimes it shakes our faith. We are shaken. Because one problem after the other problem comes up, and then we say, I just got through that other problem, and look, this happened. And then we got people that's looking on at us and watching how we're going to handle that adversity. How are we going to handle that trouble, that tribulation, that trial, that test, that crisis? And when it comes into our life, we that know that we need God to direct us, to shape us, to work with us, what we got to do is stand on God's word in the midst of it all, in the midst of it. You know, Daniel praying, and what happened to him? Lion's den. Three huge
Come on
Hebrew
now,
avoids.
And you know what? You preaching, because I was thinking as you were talking, I said, you know, God used lions to train David, so you know.
Right. Right.
What our training day is like.
Right.
So I know we're coming short up on time. I want to have you go to page 36 and close us out with expounding upon God's plans for you. And that will bring us to the conclusion of our show after you let us hear God's plans for you. Read the scripture Jeremiah 29:11 for us, and then you know just give us whatever testimony you want to expound upon, and then we'll close.
All right. And speaking of page 36, which brings in Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And the reason I stress that word you, all through there in that scripture is us. He's concerned about you, me. And it says here, he says it, you. I have a plan for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give hope, to give you hope and a future. And it's all about us. It's all about us. And that's my foundation scripture for this book, that regardless to what other people are saying and other people are trying to mess you up in your thinking and your plans and what your life should be, God is concerned about us. Look how many times you is stressed in Jeremiah 29:11. And so we are at the center of his thoughts. We are the center of his plans. And here it goes where he wants us to know that he wants to control every bit of the confusion and frustration that we have in our life by his love. That's how he controls that. He gives us a determination to make it through regardless. See, when we get our back pushed up against the wall and people say, you're not going to make it, look what you did, I'm looking at your past. People try to predict what's going to happen to us by looking at our past. They're predicting what's going to happen to us looking at where we're at right now. And then they say, okay, the future don't look too good either. But God is saying, I know the plans for you. This whole scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, is saying it's about you. And God's plan is about you. He wants to bless our life with his power. And once we tap into that, all the people that are saying that you won't make it, can't make it, look at your failures, look at what you went through. You think you got something bright coming up the road, but it ain't going to happen. Those people are liars. Those people are the people that have the hateful spirit in them. And if we just stand on what God promised, that his promises are true, we're going to make it, we can take it, and we can survive and be elevated. So for all the people that are listening today, I want you to know that when you read that scripture, I hope you read it with new eyes. It's you in there. You can take the you out and put your name in there. I want to leave that with all of you, to take the you out and put your name in that scripture. And then when somebody's talking to you, negative talk, they got a view of you that's not true, you go back and remember and make it personal. That's what God's words are, personal, personal. So when you feel defeated, you feel like you're not going to make it, you go back and let that scripture be what God intended for you. And when you look at that scripture in new eyes, you will remember, for I know the plans I have for you. Put your name in, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, put your name in where it says you. And not to harm you, put your name in. Plans to give you hope and a future, put your name there. God is concerned about you. He loves you. Anybody that's trying to mess with you, trying to make you feel inferior, that's trying to be a bully in your life, being a person that's abusive in your life, this is what we stand on. We stand on the word of God. It's here. That scripture is what he intends for us. And I recommend everybody, when you're at that low point, cling to God's word, stand on his word, stand on his promises. Because he made you fearfully and wonderfully. You are that person that he will use to win the world. He has greater days in store for your life.
Amen, amen, amen. Wanda, it has been a true honor, privilege, and a pleasure to meet you, to have this discussion with you at the well about your book, Don't Mess With Me, Who Do You Think You Are? And we want to remind our listeners, amen, we want to remind our listeners that they can pick up their own copy at www.thecalledandreadywriters.org and learn more about you and the rest of the writers in the group. On page, before we close out, I want to just say on page 53, it says, give everything to God. The situation, circumstances, and people who have led you to this place of feeling defeated and a failure must be released from your life.
Everything and everybody must be cast over to Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let it go. Let them go. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55 and verse 22. And that concludes this episode of The Woman at the Well. We want to remind you that we broadcast live from Tribe Family Channel. You can visit us at tribefamilychannel.com or visit us on Twitter at TribeFamilyUS. Again, I am Beverly Black Johnson, the creator of Tribe Family Channel, which is brought to you by Gumbo for the Soul International and Bruce George Media. Thank you so much once again for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you once again, Wanda, and God bless you. I will talk to you soon.
I love you, and I appreciate you. I thank you for this time. I praise God for us being able to connect. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate all the opportunities that you so generously extended to me, and I thank God for us being together this evening. And for the listeners, remember, you don't have to listen to anybody but God.
Amen. And right back to you, my sister. God bless you, and we will be in touch soon. God bless.
Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord.
The Lord is so amazing. God has truly been amazing. The love he showed me when he sacrificed his only son. And what a blessing Christ Jesus in me. I'm all I am because of what the Lord has done. It's so amazing to be loved by the Holy Spirit, Father and the Son. Yes, the Lord's amazing love, my God.
Home.